Hi, welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, our sports director and Mr. Everything, Bill Newell, getting lots of stuff together. And this is Thanksgiving week, which is always a big time for us old-timers who used to work at WESX Radio in Salem. And many, many years ago, Bill Newell and I would broadcast Beverly High School games. I guess it was exclusive on WESX for 10 or 15 years, and then Bill was able to convince the higher-ups that we should do the game of the week, and we did that for many, many years. And then Tim Kearns helped take this over in about 2005, and we've been doing it ever since. We are not going to be broadcasting a live Thanksgiving Day football game this year, but we will have some coverage, and we're going to go over those schedules in just a minute. But first, let's welcome in Tim. How are you, Tim?
Good evening, Rick. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well.
Thanks for those kind words.
What's that?
Thank you for those kind words.
Oh, well, it's true, man. You know that. You know that. I couldn't have done this without you, and still can't. We're going to put our... If you open up behind the curtain here, Tim and I were having a little discussion on the Patriots yesterday, and we were disagreeing. So I think we're going to put that on hold for now, Tim, because we have so much to talk about, and I look forward to that discussion. But I do want to go back over the games this weekend, because we do want to congratulate the state champions that have been crowned and the two regional teams that are going to the Super Bowl from our area, St. John's Prep and North Reading. And Tim, you and I were at that North Reading game, and I wonder if you have any leftover thoughts about that.
Kid's the hell of a kicker. You know, it turned into a war, and you seldom see a high school game end on a final play 39-yard field goal that was as true a kick as you could possibly find. I mean, I was down in the field, and it was dead center, and it was my first thought was, my God, this is good from 59 yards. He put the boot to it, and you could just see the air just ripped out of the lungs of Bishop Fenwick. Those kids were totally crushed.
Yeah.
But the immediacy of the outcome of the game, and the kids from North Reading, I mean, the relation took them like 3 feet off the ground. One crowd stunned, the other crowd probably even more so.
Well, the holder was...
But it was as good a high school game in that second half as you could ask for.
Back and forth, and let's not forget that Bishop Fenwick took the lead with 33 seconds left to go in the game. So the North Reading Hornets had to move from their own 42-yard line, into field goal range, 33 seconds with no timeouts, and they did it. I think they got to the 29-yard line of Bishop Fenwick with 6 seconds left. And just cold as ice, Mike Guidebeck, senior place kicker, as Tim was saying, put that thing right down the middle from 39 yards out. And it's funny, Tim, just before that, on a kickoff prior to that, it was the first time we had a legitimate kickoff during the whole game, because each side was trying to outsmart the other. And Guidebeck sailed that sucker way out of the end zone, and you said, where has that been all night? And then he comes back with that 39-yard field goal.
Yeah, it took everybody, I think, in the stadium by surprise, except for those who really knew him, because he kicked it out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Who of us knew that was a precursor of things to come? And, you know, the one reassuring thing for North Reading was they knew that they only had to get to probably the 30-yard line, and this kid could boot it through.
Well,
you know, they didn't have to get into the end zone. They only had to get close enough to get him in range so he could get a chance at it, you know, and otherwise, the game's still going on.
Yeah. So North Reading will be playing Shawshin Valley Tech at 5:30 p.m. on Friday, December 2. So that's a week from Friday, North Reading versus Shawshin at Gillette Stadium, a Friday game at 5:30. They're splitting the deal here. Three games at Gillette on Friday, and 5 games at Gillette on Saturday, starting with Hull versus Kipp. And I'm sorry I neglected to mention Kip Academy going to the Super Bowl as well out of Lynn. So Hull versus Kip at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And then Springfield Central, who has been just dominating everybody on their side of the bracket, versus St. John's Prep at 12:30. We have an interview with St. John's Prep coach Brian St. Pierre that was dropped today on our website. And you might want to check that out. Also, other winners, state champions in soccer. It was St. John's Prep boys. Dave Crowell talks with Bill Newell on our website. That video, interview is up as well. Also, Newburyport boys soccer, state 3 division champions. Sean Blue, the coach there, and I talked with Sean this morning. That post is up there as well on our website. And Ipswich Volleyball, also state champions. Bill Newell talked with Coach Stacy Sankey. All those posts are on our website at msonewsports.com, and you can check them out. Congratulations to all those teams, and actually everybody who participated in the state tournament, but also who participated. I think it's important we not lose that for all of our athletes, our young student-athletes who have participated. Now, Tim, quickly, Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. Of note, and I don't know if we can guarantee we can get an interview here this evening. We're going to try. St. Mary's is going to be playing, and isn't St. Mary's in the Super Bowl as well? Or did they get beaten?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, how did I miss that? I didn't.
They are playing Stoneham, 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Okay, I missed that too. God, I'm a mess tonight. Thank you for bringing that up. Of course.
I also want to just back that. Just briefly, and congratulate Pingree School because the girls won the Class C field hockey title, as well as the girls NEPSAC soccer champions. So we've got St. John's Prep Soccer, we've got Ipswich Volleyball, we've got Pingree Girls. Soccer, Pingree Girls, field hockey, Ipswich, volleyball. You know, the schools around here basically covered all the sports that we're playing right now and bringing home the hardware.
And Newburyport boys soccer went 23-0-0 this year with 18 shutouts. All right, very quickly, I was going to mention St. Mary's. They are playing at Fenway Park on Wednesday against Austin Prep at 1:30. Hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of Coach Driscoll. Other Wednesday games, Kip is playing Lynn Tech at 6, and then Malden versus Medford, 7:30. That also is at Fenway Park. On Thanksgiving Day, the granddaddy of them all, Beverly Salem. Danvers is at Gloucester. Swampscott at Marblehead. Saugus is hosting Peabody. Revere at Winthrop. Xaverian at St. John's Prep at 10:15. All the other games are at 10. Bishop Fenwick at Masco, Hamilton Wenham at Ipswich, Amesbury is at Newburyport, Pentucket at Triton. We will be talking with Triton coach Eric Burgos in just a couple of seconds here. Linfield at North Reading, that's a 10:30 start. Other games, Manchester Essex at Georgetown, Lynn Classical at Lynn English, Kip at Lynn Tech, Wakefield at Melrose at 10:15, and Northeast at Essex Tech. Those are our Thanksgiving Day games, and I think the weather is looking pretty promising for Thursday. We will take a break, come back. We're going to talk with Triton High School football coach Eric Burgos. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate it. This is North Shore Sports Night on msonewsports.com. We'll be back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we are back now in our pre-Thanksgiving Day discussions here in high school football, and we're bringing in now Triton High School football coach Eric Burgos. And Eric, welcome back to MSO.
Thanks so much for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Coach, a pretty damn good season for you guys. You ran into a couple of buzzsaws, but going 6-4, really a couple of signature games that I might point out, maybe three, and you tell me if I'm off base here, but I'm looking at Newburyport as one big win. I'm looking at Linfield as another, a huge win. And then I don't know where you put Gloucester, but you completely wiped them out. So tell me about maybe some really excellent games for you guys this year that highlight the season.
Yeah, I mean, the kids really, they really fought hard, like, just all year long. You know, they had higher expectations of themselves this year than they did in the past. And it really showed, like, they came into games prepared, and they just came in willing to win and do what it takes to win. And so it was just cool to see these guys put together, you know, like a full game of football, and especially in those three games, which they all had just great meanings for the program and just super proud that they were just super competitive all year long, minus, you know, a game or two.
Mm-hmm. Tim Kearns is our super analyst and our ambassador of goodwill. So, Tim, please join in.
I will. Coach, congratulations on a good season.
Thank you.
How do you point the kids towards next fall now to get them on course, to keep in the weight room throughout the winter? I'm sure, being the size of school that you are, you've got numerous multi-sport athletes that are going to transition now to the winter and spring sports, and then you got to bring them back into the summer fold for the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as we speak, you know, just before I got on this phone call, we're in the process of doing some exit interviews with some of the guys that are going to be returning. And so that's really just to reflect on the year and the ups and downs of the year, but most importantly, determine what we're going to do this off season to take the next step forward for the program, which is just to raise the expectation a little bit and look to win the Cal and look to go to Gillette. Like, that's why we play, and it's important that these kids know that and believe it and expect it, you know. So, you know, a lot of weight room talk, a lot of getting guys together, a lot of leaders coming together and building how we're going to map it out. And just continue to get bigger, faster, stronger, and still enjoy our high school experience at the same time.
You can finish with an excellent record if you win this Thanksgiving Day game. And before we talk about it, Eric, tell me about maybe your memories about Thanksgiving football, because it really is pretty much unique to this area. I heard we covered Manchester Essex a couple of weeks ago when they lost to Old Colony in the rain. And Coach Grimes was out there in the middle of the field after the game and saying, guys, don't hold your heads down, you know. We got a big game coming up. And he was explaining to them how important Thanksgiving is. But maybe a memory or two of you involved in Thanksgiving, either as a player or as a coach.
Yeah, so it is probably one of the best days of ever, you know. You wake up, you don't need an alarm for some odd reason. You just don't need an alarm that day. You're gonna be up at 4 a.m. no matter what. And it's just a different feel in the air, you know, that, you know, I know they say anything can happen on any given day, but Thanksgiving kind of makes it that much more real. You know, you see a lot of great performances from guys you didn't expect, or, you know, some seniors just playing their last ever football game. It's just really special. Unfortunately, I had to go up against the dominant Gloucester teams of 07, 08, 09.
Oh, wait a minute. We're talking Danvers here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, I'm sorry, man. Sorry I brought it up.
Those are my high school memories of Thanksgiving. But still, you know, I mean, I think we were, you know, 0-10 one season, and we still believe that, you know, we could win that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different day. It's a different day. Oddly enough, I got my first ever victory over Gloucester a couple of weeks ago as a coach, which was funny. but as a player and a coach, ironically, I've never won on Thanksgiving, so it's a real exciting one this year.
Okay,
I just want to go get it.
All right, Tim.
You know, certainly, it's always great to talk about the memories of Thanksgiving Day. I grew up in West Lynn, and Thanksgiving always been heading down to Manning Bowl and watching the Classical Rams and the English Bulldogs have at each other to a crowd of generally between 5,000 and 10,000 people, which was it was just an amazing time back then. And of course, it was a few years earlier than 06-07. I can tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. they were good.
You know, it really hasn't changed, I don't think, a whole lot, because it's a day where you go back and you see people that you graduated with, and you go back and if you go to your school, you know, you see former students coming up, and they come up and they say, hello, how you doing? You play catch-up, and that's all you do, and it's a wonder you see any of the game, because they're so busy, you know, chit-chatting with former students and former classmates and all that.
Yep. Yeah, and our guys think that the people are actually watching them.
Oh, come on. what about festivities around Thanksgiving at Triton High School? Because I know there are all kinds of different traditions in the area. What do you guys do?
I wish I could tell you about some type of tradition, but I just know that, you know, there's people in the parking lots a few hours before the game.
Oh, I was referring to the week, because do you have captains get-togethers and stuff like that?
Oh, as far as the team, yeah. So
yeah, the team, yeah.
We had our senior speak to the team today. Just lay it all out there what this week means to them. You know, reflecting on their the season, the old burning of the shoe. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, as we're rebuilding this program, we're actually instilling these traditions one by one, which is pretty cool. So that's been done. You know, they have their good old pep rally on Wednesday to get ready for the game. And then besides that, it's really just allowing these guys to have a good time at practice and just celebrate their hard work, especially these seniors.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Is there anything special about the practices this week as you head toward Thanksgiving Day? It's the last game for your seniors. Are there anything different that you do out of the ordinary in preparation for Thursday?
I mean, we still stay pretty status quo when it comes to preparation for the game. Given the time we have and you know, we're not reinventing any wheels as far as schemes and stuff like that. We do have some good times with the coaches and develop some challenges between players and coaches, which is always fun. You know, for example, I had a field goal kickoff with one of my guards today. You know, and it was a complete hit with the team. You know, he actually beat me. I was not able to get my third kick through the uprights, and he was before me. So, just little stuff like that. It's been a fun week, but when it comes to preparation, it's status quo.
Well, Pentucket is 1-10. You have a home game, and maybe you can give me a quick scouting report on them. But first, Coach, brag about some of your kids with names.
Oh, man. Geez, so we have the head, I would call this guy the head of the culture turnaround here, which is Ashton Watson. He's been playing offensive line and defensive line since he was a freshman here, at Triton. And, he's just having another hell of a good year. You know, I speak to coaches mostly after our games, obviously, but and they tell me how they just try to game plan around him, you know, don't run the ball at him or, how do they play football away from his side of the field? You know, he's that much of a force. On the field, but off the field, he's just even better. I mean, we have a couple of the, you know, offensive stat leaders in the area. You know, our quarterback, Max Shimitaro's. I mean, if I look at his stats right now, he's got about 16 to 18 passing touchdowns to two interceptions. So that's a fantastic ratio, given its high school level and also the amount of times we throw the ball. So, he's pushing 1,600 yards in the air. Man, we have a senior line, man. Tony Seforza, Luke O'Leary, Zach Fowler's had a tremendous growth of an individual and football player this year. And then we've had a bulldozer in Joshua Rodriguez, who's been able to run the ball for us, you know, lead with a kickoff block, also plays Mike Backer for us, you know, just literally a bulldozer. And then we have our Nathan Miller, who's his counterpart. He's the Robin to J-Rod's Batman, the other backer who just been playing consistent football. Those two have been just pluggers for the defensive middle. They've just been fun. They've been fun to watch, and they just love playing together as a unit. So it's been cool to see them develop that bond.
Excellent.
Man, I keep going, but you know.
I know. Well, you speak with pride, Coach, and we can do a wrap up maybe with a little more time next week. Tim, some final thoughts with Coach Burgos?
Nope. Better luck in the future against Gloucester, I guess. One of which,
seriously.
You need to take up an opportunity to beat them at some point. Enjoy the holiday, and hopefully the turkey will taste good going down Thursday afternoon.
That's the goal, man. I really you know, would love to enjoy a piece of turkey once in a while.
There you go. What Tim said.
Appreciate you guys.
Coach Eric, thank you so much. Be well, good luck, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for
having
me.
Thanks, Coach. That's Eric Burgos, who was the coach of Triton High School, and they did beat Gloucester 37-0 last outing. We are going to take a break. We're going to be a little bit late with Mike Grinier because we are going to talk with Sean Driscoll about this upcoming game at Fenway Park. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back. I got to bring Tim Kearns back here as we are now welcoming back Sean Driscoll, the incredibly successful coach at St. Mary's High School. And, Coach, welcome back. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you, buddy?
All right, my man.
Sean, I don't know, man. I don't even know where to start. But we're focusing on Thanksgiving this week, obviously. But you got to mention the semifinals, the state tournament, and heading into the Super Bowl. Tell us a little bit about this game last week.
Oh, Friday it was a very good high school football game. Playing down there in Walpole against Rockland, a very good Rockland team, well coached and very good program to win throughout the years. A tough team, and I'll tell you what, it was a very physical, high-fought football game. They have a history of, you know, kind of like a ground and pound type of team with some speed, and they were very big on defense, and we were fortunate to make some plays in the second half defensively to kind of secure the game. But it was a tight one. It was a good one. It came down to actually the last kickoff, their last kick return to kind of end the game. So it was probably the way my kids handled the trip down there and just matching the physicality of them, which we were concerned about going into the game.
Tim?
Coach, you've got quite a week of football coming up. Fenway Park, Gillette. Where are you going to play after that? I mean,
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for our kids. It's great for our school and the program. We knew we had the opportunity to play in Fenway Park a few months ago, and we kind of put it aside. And our goal was always to try to be in that final game in December, but we got there. I mean, that goal has been talked about since we lost in the semifinals last year. So it's great for the kids. Not too many teams to have an opportunity, one, to play at Fenway Park, but to do Fenway Park at Gillette back-to-back is a great honor and something they'll always remember.
Coach, go ahead, Tim.
I want to go with my gloves so I can catch a pass that goes out of bounds.
All right. Sean, you have a really short time to prepare here. And I don't want to disparage Austin Prep, but they're 0-9. But you do. What are the challenges of going from, a Friday game and then having to prepare to go to a Wednesday game, no matter who you're playing? What are those challenges like?
Well, you know, it's a short week. You know, you get done with a very emotional win on Friday. You know, you kind of get together Saturday, kind of regroup a little bit. We got going yesterday with Thanksgiving preparations, and then you add Fenway to it, so there's a little bit more logistics to it. Working on Sunday and Monday, today on some of the final stuff, and then, you know, practice today was getting kind of back in the swing of things. Just about the contact is over for this week. I mean, you know, coming off a very physical game on Friday and then, you know, pretty much putting the game plan in both sides of the ball the next couple of days, get special teams ready to go. And then, we're on a bus heading to, Fenway Park, Wednesday morning, late morning. So it's a quick turnaround. It's a focus time. You know, it's a spirit week at the school and as is most schools. Thanksgiving week and trying to keep them focused and also at the same time letting them enjoy the moment as a high school senior.
John, how's the health situation with the team?
Good. We actually, 2 weeks ago we played against Linfield without David Brown, which was a loss for us. You know, he bounced back with a good game, especially on the defensive side of the ball on Friday against Rockland. Everyone seems to be feeling pretty good. I think everyone woke up on Saturday morning a little sore from Friday, including the head coach. I will tell you, it was very, very hard-fought, exciting game to watch. But coaching in it, the ups and downs and the different strategies and stuff that went on, and the coaching part of it really came into play down the stretch, and it was good. But I think going into this week, we're fairly healthy.
Coach, we want to talk. Go ahead, Tim.
If the score allows it against us in Prep, will you give Brown limited reps?
Well, we're going in. Everyone's playing in the football game is our mentality. We're going into, you know, playing Austin Prep for the last time. It's kind of a special week. It's Thanksgiving. You know, back in 2018, we had something similar playing our rival Bishop Fenwick, and we were a little bit dinged up from the Saturday game before when we played Cohasset. Getting in, it was just not a very, you know, I didn't like what we had to do, but we had to do it for obvious reasons. I don't think we're in that same situation. So, this year, so everyone's full go for the most part. And I think we'll pick our spots on certain sides depending on how the game flows, you know. Obviously the number one goal is to win a state championship. But as I told my kids and I tell everyone, you're still competing. You know, we want our kids to always compete regardless what they do in school. They want to compete in school, in the classroom. And, you know, this is a competition. So we're going to go there, prepare self to be successful.
Coach, next week I want to talk with you. We want to talk with you, of course, about the Super Bowl, and I want to focus on Bishop Feehan. I got to focus on that game, but that's another story for another day. Tell me a little bit, please, Sean, about your memories, either as a player or as a coach, about Thanksgiving, because it is so special a day for high school football.
Yeah, I mean, as a coach in Massachusetts, Thanksgiving's always a special time. Some people will tell you within the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, it's kind of lost it a little bit with the playoff format and all that. I don't think that's really the case at most schools. But, you know, as a coach preparing when I was the head coach of Winthrop, it was always a special game. Winthrop Revere, it still is. It's very important to the kids and each community, and you just prepare differently. It's always everyone's championship was always my opinion of Thanksgiving. I mean, you could have one win, the other team could have five wins at the championship game. And that's how Thanksgiving should be, and I still believe it is at a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. Tim, final thoughts?
Sean, as always, my friend, I want to wish you a very happy holiday for you and your family, and best of luck against Austin Prep, and then as you head to Gillette, make us all proud and bring it home.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving, guys, and we'll be talking next week, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach. Be well.
Take care.
All right. That's Sean Driscoll, who is St. Mary's High School football coach and all-around genuine good guy. And we will be talking with him, Tim. I'm not sure if it'll be Monday or some other time, but we're going to hopefully extend it a little bit more so we can get in, you know, more detail, you know, about his team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, they have been a most enjoyable team to watch. that they have been really, really talented over the last few years, and they just continue to bring it every week. They bring it.
And again, I'm always happy to talk with Coach Driscoll. Okay. We will pause at this moment. Come back. We'll do our Basketball Insider with Mike Grenier. Lots to talk about. Of course, mostly good news coming out of the Garden lately, and hope to keep that going. In the meantime, we'll be right back.
MSONewsSports.com is connecting you to the North Shore with great local sports coverage. Live play-by-play football, Monday night sports night show, the game night football show, feature spotlight interviews with coaches and players, the Salem News Sports Writers Podcast, and joining us this fall, Nick and Nick in the North Shore Sports Desk and the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. The place to hear and see positive local coverage, making connections that support the North Shore.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're going live now, as I think I might have said. I'm Rick Moore, along with Jim Kearns, Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. Bill Newell, of course, is our sports director and just about everything in terms of production here at I almost said WESX, but at MSO No Sports. And our basketball insider now is Mike Grenier. And Mike, why don't you start with what you just asked us off the air?
Let's start with this. Marcus Smart, they're playing the Chicago Bulls at 8 o'clock tonight. And Marcus Smart, after a couple of games of absence with an injury, it will be back in the lineup tonight. So that's a heck of a good news for a team that's already has the best record in the NBA at 13-3. So that's a great uptick for the team. And let's see what happens. Let's see if they can grab their 10th straight win.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, it used to be a long time ago that the Pats, you could turn the South on and. And it would be very early in the game, and they'd be up like, 5-0. You go, okay, game's over.
Yeah.
I turned on the game the other night. They were up 4-2, and I turned to my wife, and I said, okay, game's over.
Yeah, when the team is really good, that's it.
And they were up by 20 points. I'm like, going, okay.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I'm sorry, Rick. And Tim, you know, we've talked in the past about a year ago. It took them a long time before everything clicked. And I looked this up a few minutes ago. A year ago, through 16 games, which is where they're at right now, they were 8-8. So I think they had just played the Lakers. They were 8-8. No one knew if they were going to be bad or good. And no one knew if Ime Udoka was going to be bad or good as the new coach of that team. It seems like a huge turnaround, doesn't it, guys, from a year ago? They have a young coach, Joe Mazzulla, and they're buying in so far, for sure. And they're 13-3, and everything is going well except for the injury. You know, you still have, you know, Robert Williams out, and hopefully he'll come back a fair amount of time here. But compared to a year ago, they're way ahead of where they were at.
This is a team that reminds me a couple of years ago when we were getting our hopes up. That was young and play, and I don't know if Brad, I think it was Brad Stevens back then. And everybody got excited, and then of course the wheels fell off the bus there after that. But what do you see? I've got my own opinion, but what do you guys see as the difference this year? Because when I watch a game, it feels different watching these guys this year.
Well, Tim, I'm sure you'll want to chip in on it. What I see right off the bat when I watch any Celtics game, and Tim mentioned how when they're up 8-10 points, he feels the game is over. I kind of feel the same way. It's like watching the Patriots under Brady. You know, when they took a 7-0 lead, you felt the game was over. I think the improvement of Jason Tatum and his willingness to share the ball is a huge part of this. And I think that they're all playing stronger on both offense and defense. In other words, they have 7 players in double figures, averaging double figures. The addition of Malcolm Brogdon, I think, has been significant. The fact that Jason Tatum is sharing the ball and getting to the foul line is another improvement. Jaylen Brown, of course, averaging 25 points a game. He's been great. Grant Williams has improved. Sam Hauser shooting basically almost 48-49% on three-pointers. He's another great addition to the team. So I think there are a lot of moving parts, and I think that they're all clicking right now. Tim, what's your take on this?
You took the word out of my mouth. It's sharing the ball. There are more guys running the floor now and more guys sharing the basketball, more guys getting into the scoring sheet. Look how many times have been guys scoring, they've had multiple guys in double figures.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing. It's the willingness of the two players, one in particular, to share the ball, realizing that he doesn't have to score all the points. He's not the entire team. And what that does is that just makes everybody a danger on the floor so that the opponent's heads have to be on a swivel looking for where guys are running the lane and who could possibly get in the ball. And that
right.
just opens up guys to continue to the hoop.
And Rick and Tim, I think the bench is just so much stronger than it was a year ago. Because you bring in Malcolm Brogdon, who could average 18 or 20 points as a starter, and then what happens is when Marcus Smart, who plays so hard, he's going to get banged up. So he's missed a couple of games. Brogdon comes in there and does a great job. Derek White is greatly improved
yep.
compared to a year ago. So I think, Rick, that's another factor. But their bench, even Luke Kornet has been contributing. And I mentioned Sam Hauser, who's a huge addition. So I think the bench is much stronger overall. And obviously in the long run, that's exactly what you need to go deep in the playoffs.
I'm glad you mentioned Derek White because I was going to bring him up. It looks to me like he's playing what we had hoped for last year when we heard about him. We had those little bursts every now and then. But the one thing, and I agree with both of you guys on everything, and one thing I want to mention that I've noticed as a fan, I hate the ISO basketball. When a guy comes up to the top of the key, he dribbles left, he dribbles right, and he does that for 15 or 20 seconds. I see that happening with the Celtics. I see it. And then all of a sudden, with 4 or 5 seconds left, bang, it's around the perimeter. So
that's right.
I've seen Derek White do it. I've seen Jason Tatum do it. I've seen Jaylen Brown. I'm thinking, oh, crap, they're going to that isolation thing there, just one possession, one guy. And every single time I say that, the ball is out of his hands and it's in someone else's. So that, to me, is what you guys were all talking about, the teamwork.
That's right. And I think, well, of course, Tatum is probably the most guilty of that. I don't see it so much from Jaylen Brown or Brogdon. Brogdon loves to just penetrate and dish out. I don't see it from Derek White. Tatum still has a problem with that, but he's improved.
Yeah, but he can score when he does. He still scores.
Right. Yeah, of course. And I mentioned the bench being improved and all that, and Al Horford's still playing well at age 36. If I have one concern in the long run is that right now Horford is averaging like 31 minutes a game, and Tim, we should take note of this, and Rick, and I think that's the most minutes he's averaged since 2018. So that's not he's very efficient, he's playing great, but I don't want him, personally, I don't want him playing 31, 32 minutes a game in November, because I think in April and May he's going to wear down. But now we're talking, that's without Robert Williams. I think obviously Robert Williams changes the dynamic and the whole complexion of that team when he comes back, because Horford won't have to play nearly as many minutes. Ideally, personally, I'd love to see Horford playing somewhere in the 26, 27 minute range as opposed to 31, 32 minutes. Tim, what do you think about that?
I agree, but he seems to be playing these minutes with so much ease. He's not expending maximum effort to get the job done that he's doing. The way the overall team is flowing, he doesn't have to burn all his energy out. He doesn't have to stress the old body parts. You know, there's the playing with a flow, and he's able to play within that flow and again, not tax himself to the point where he's dragging, he's got to come out, he's got to rest, he can't be used for a longer period of time. So, and I think that's helping his stamina.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, obviously, too, the fact that he's not the go-to guy on offense helps. Like you said, he can be the trailer on the fast break. He can take the out, you know, he can take the outside shot, or he's not the primary offensive player. He doesn't have to, because you have Tatum averaging 30.3 and you have Jaylen Brown averaging nearly 25, and then you have Marcus Smart up there, and you have Brogdon averaging 13.5. So he's not the go-to guy. He could be a secondary scorer. So you're right. He's not having to take a pounding in the paint, and that's going to help in the long run. But still, I'd like to see his minutes reduced, and I think that will happen automatically when Robert Williams comes back.
Last year, Udoka got much of the credit for maturing, helping the big two mature, and I think Jason Tatum deserves so much credit this year for the way he is playing and the way he is. He's really the captain of the team in terms of the way he's leading things. But I wonder, Mike, how do you look at Coach Mazzulla and what he's done so far from a coaching aspect, handling timeouts, handling personnel, and stuff like that?
Right now, I think we'd have to. I mean, the fact that they've won 9 in a row, they're 13-3, and have the best record in the NBA. You know, if you were a teacher, like growing up in the Catholic school, we got a gold star. You know, if you did well on your papers, I think you'd have that little gold star right now for Joe Mazzulla through 16 games. Granted, he hasn't faced the pressure of the playoffs yet. But this is a great start for a young coach, only 34 years old. And a guy like Tatum, he's playing with tremendous enthusiasm. So you can tell that he's bought into whatever Mazzulla is exposing those guys to in practice and game planning. Tatum seems to be right on top of it, and so does Jaylen Brown, and the rest of the guys follow. So they're playing a together type of basketball. And right now, I kind of wish the playoffs would start tomorrow, because they'd be the favorite, you know what I mean? But we'll see how it all turns out after 82 games. But obviously, compared to a year ago when they were 8-8, you know, Mazzulla has come in, and of course he was on the staff. It's not like he was an outsider, So he was somewhat of a voice as an assistant coach for the last couple of years. And the players like him; they identify with him because he's so young. And so far, I think he's just done a great job of the scheming for game to game and close games. He's been pulling those out too. So no complaints here from this particular observer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, at 13-3, it's the record is easy on the eye. They're enjoyable to watch. They seem to be able to weather storms. I was listening. I turned on the game on the radio the other night, and the announcer was saying that, you know, they had weathered several runs at them by, was it Chicago? That they had withstood it and they had able to react and then add to their lead. And that's the sign of maturity. Those are things we used to talk about the old Celtics with.
Right.
From the 80s, Larry's and those guys. You know, the other team would have a shot first and they go, okay, you've had your fun and I will bury you. And
that's right.
Be able to do. They're able to go, okay, yeah, you've had a run. Now we're going to run away.
Right. And I think that just speaks not only to the coaching in Mazzulla, but the depth that we mentioned, right, Rick? Obviously, if an opposing team has a couple of star players who are averaging 35, 36, 37, 38 minutes, they wear down, whereas the Celtics, you know, obviously you still expect Jaylen Brown and Tatum to play big minutes, but other guys like Derek White, you can sub in, you know, like Grant Williams will play, and you can sub in Brogdon, and then Sam Hauser comes in. He's been, to me, the biggest surprise, Sam Hauser. He's averaging more points than Ben Simmons. How's that? Ben Simmons makes $29 million, and he's a head case, and he averages about 6 points a game. Sam Hauser comes off the bench for the Boston Celtics. I don't know what his salary is, but it's not certainly with probably $27 million less than Ben Simmons. He averages like 7.8 points per game, and he shoots at almost 50% from three-point territory. And I've seen Tatum, and Rick, we mentioned Tatum and his maturity, and Tim, and Tatum sometimes gives up a shot because he sees Hauser open on the perimeter for a three. And that shows you the trust that Tatum has in a player who, until this year, wasn't a contributor. All of a sudden, he's a big piece off the bench and the guy who can hit the big three-pointer.
It takes a team, and every time I see those Hauser shots, it's like, you know, like a dagger to the other team. Let's have some fun now, Mike. Last week we had I want to bring up schedule for the Celtics because it's never been talked about, but I don't, maybe it's a little premature for that. But maybe you can weave it into this, your power rankings on the top and the bottom.
Well, yes. Well, I thought we'd have fun, Tim, and you can contribute here after. I thought I'd mention three underachieving teams. The underachieving three, who I still see as potential threats in the playoffs, to the Celtics, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start right away with the Golden State Warriors, because obviously they're the defending champs. They beat the Celtics last year. But the Golden State Warriors are in the underachieving three. They have a record of 8-9. If the playoffs started tomorrow, they would not be in it. So the Celtics wouldn't have to worry about them. Does that mean that they're out of the picture? Of course not. But right now, they're an underachieving team at 8-9. And, you know, they got to do some work to get up there in the playoff rankings, so to do some damage in the Western Conference. But obviously, to me, they are the biggest threat in the West. But right now, they're underachieving. Now, underachieving team number two, to me, is, and Rick, you know this, the city of brotherly love,
yeah,
Philadelphia 76ers.
Yep.
They're just, right now they're ranked eighth in the East. They're just middle of the pack, run of the mill. They're 8-8. And yet we've seen Joel Embiid have a 59 point game, and we've seen him have 35 point games. However, his surrounding help has not been there for him. James Harden, who is, of course, an older player, he's been out for a few weeks now with an injury. Tyrese Maxey, who's been a terrific player this year, averaging 22, 23 points a game, he's out 3 or 4 weeks with an injury. So Embiid doesn't have the surrounding weapons right now, and as a result, the Sixers are just barely in the picture at 8-8. And the third underachieving team, to me, is the Miami Heat, a team that was seeded number one going into the playoffs last year. The Eastern Conference, they won two more games than the Celtics, and you know, the Celtics ended up beating them in a seven-game series to reach the NBA Finals. But the Miami Heat are suffering with a 7-10 record. Again, Jimmy Butler, their best player, has been in and out of the lineup. They haven't had any cohesion. So at this point, the Miami Heat, they wouldn't even, they're number 11 in the Eastern Conference. So therefore, they have some work to do before they can be considered a playoff contender. So I'm surprised by those three teams, okay? So, Tim, before I say the Power Five, what do you think of those underachieving three teams?
I agree, and it's funny, as you were preparing to discuss your second team, I'm already looking at the Philadelphia 76ers, so we're both in agreement on that one. You know, I'm looking at the teams that are trailing the Warriors over in the Western Conference. Oklahoma,
yeah.
San Antonio, L.A., and Houston.
Right.
When was the last time that ever happened, when you had Minnesota, Dallas, New Orleans, the Clippers, Memphis, and Sacramento all playing above them in terms of the standings?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy right now, but it's only been 17 games. But I'm shocked because the Warriors, Tim and Rick, because it's not like Steph Curry is missing games. It's not like Klay Thompson has been missing games, or Draymond Green. They're big three. And then Wiggins, who was a big factor in guarding Tatum last year, he's been playing. They're not injury-racked teams. So, therefore, I'm surprised that they are 8-9 and struggling. Now, they're an older team, obviously.
That's
Steph
exactly
Curry's in his 30s. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, those guys are older now. So, therefore, maybe they're starting to wear down. Maybe they're starting to be a little over the hill. It's a little early to say that, but through 17 games, the fact of the matter is they're 8-9 and wouldn't be making the playoffs if it started tomorrow.
Well, you just mentioned earlier that at this time the Celtics were 8-8, and look where they went.
Correct, and that's why it's fun to do this now, because 2 weeks from now the Warriors might be 14-9.
Yeah.
You know? So now, should we go with the Mike's Power Five?
Yeah, and if you have last week's, tell me what's changed in the standings.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go with the Utah Jazz as number five. Okay, they have the best record in the Western Conference, 12-6. However, you know, They average 117 points a game on offense, but they gave up 114, so their differential is only 3 points per game. But they've had a good start, so I have to put them in my power five.
Mm-hmm.
To me, an up-and-coming team is the Phoenix Suns. They're mm-hmm. second in the Western Conference. They're 10-6. They're in the number four of my power five because
yep.
they have improved in the last couple of weeks. They're still missing Chris Paul, but they rank with the Celtics in terms of point differential. By that I mean they're winning their games by an average of 7.2 points per game, which ties the Celtics for the best point differential in the NBA. So I think I have to include them in my power five as a number four team. Now I go with the Cleveland Cavaliers as number three, and they're 10-6. They're ranked number four overall in the Eastern Conference, but they're my number three team overall in the NBA because, again, with Donovan Mitchell and the improvement and this kid Darius Garland, who threw up like a 50-point game a week ago, they have a good record of 10-6, and they're averaging 115 points a game and giving up 108. So they're my number three team. My number two team has to be the Milwaukee Bucks, 11-4, you know, and they have perhaps the best defensive team in the NBA because Giannis Antetokounmpo is such a powerful defender, and they have a veteran team. However, I will say this about the Bucks, and I think this might benefit the Celtics if they meet the Bucks in the playoff. Giannis is shooting 61% from the foul line, and the other night in a loss, he was 4-for-15 from the foul line. And it's been a trend for him. He's had better years at the foul line than this. This is the worst average he's had in his 10-year career. And he goes, as you guys know, he takes it to the basket 90% of the time. He goes to the foul line anywhere from 10 to 25 times. So if he's shooting 61, 62% from the foul line come April and May, I think the Bucks are in trouble. So that being said, though, the Bucks still aren't as good as they're going to be a month from now because Chris Middleton, who is an all-star caliber player, still out recovering from an injury that he sustained before the playoffs last year. Pat Connaughton, our local product, who averages 10 points a game, he's coming back from a calf injury fairly soon, but he's missed the entire season. So the Bucks are my number two team, and obviously the Celtics have to be number one. They're 13-3, and, you know, Tim, like you mentioned, they're still averaging 128 points a game and giving up 113, and their point differential is 7.2. And I know, Rick, you worry about defense, but they have improved their defense in the last three or four games. They're certainly giving up fewer points the last three or four games. So I think they're a clear-cut number one power team.
Tim.
You know, Mike, I was just looking through the ESPN stats, NBA stats.
Yes.
There's one team averaging less than 100 points. Everybody's scoring over 100 points a game.
Yeah.
There's no defense being played in the league.
you're right. You know what? The defense, though, tends to start happening after, let's say, 25, 30 games when players start to get banged up and they're not willing to take it to the basket and get hammered, you know. And so the scoring goes down, you know. I think the Celtics can't be, I don't think you're going to be seeing them. We'd love to see them averaging 120 points a game come January. I just don't think that's going to happen. But by the same token, their defense is going to improve. I think defensively they have a lot of potential because of what we mentioned before. They have versatility. They go 8, 9, 10 deep, and they come at you in waves. And Tatum has been playing good defense. Obviously, the defense should pick up when Robert Williams comes back because he's a rim protector. He's a shot blocker. He's not an offensive player. However, he can change the defensive schemes that the Celtics have because, like Rick, you mentioned, he can go out on, he can do a closeout on the perimeter, on 3-point shooters. And he'll make, I think, he'll have quite an impact on defense. Tim, what do you think?
I agree with that. There was a quick article on the MSN news feed saying he may be back sooner than people are expecting, which would be good for the Celts. The way they're playing, they don't need him to rush back and,
right.
Cause a reoccurrence of the injury. So let him get healthy, let him come back when he's ready to come back, and let him add to the team then, but not before. Mike, I was watching this. I got to tell you this quick story. I was watching ESPN, and they had UCLA Washington replay from 1988.
Yes.
And then so they're telling the story about UCLA quarterback. Oh God, all of a sudden I forgot his name. Oh, help me, Lord. He ended up going to Dallas. I can't remember his name. Oh, Troy Aikman. So
yeah, okay.
Aikman was like a baseball star in Oklahoma, and all the major league teams were chasing him.
Yep.
And his mother said, "Listen, you gotta do something to get rid of these guys. You need to ask them for a whole lot of money." He said, "Okay, I will." He asked for $200,000, and his mother said, "They all stopped calling. $200,000, and they stopped calling on him back in 1998. Now that's way too much money. Can you imagine?"
Oh yeah, guys make that day. You know, and Rick, I know you wanted. I think you wanted me to mention the sad case of the Los Angeles Lakers since last year. They're no better this year, you know, obviously near the bottom of the barrel here at 5-10. And it's interesting to me, Tim, I don't know if you heard this, over the weekend, I think that LeBron James was doing some kind of broadcast or something, and he was downgrading or ripping the Green Bay Packers for not surrounding Aaron Rodgers with better talent. Okay? And I think basically he was saying, Lakers haven't surrounded me with talent. But when you look at it, the guys he's playing with, the two big guns, Westbrook and Anthony Davis, those are the guys that he wanted, okay? But now they didn't make the playoffs last year with those guys, and they're 5-10 this year. So now he's impatient again. He wants the Lakers to surround him with better players.
Well, that's out of a politician's playbook, I think. You know, and we hear that a lot as an excuse. But I want to just summarize what you did with the Power Five, because you dropped Memphis and Denver out of the Power Five.
Right. Well, you know what? Jokic has missed a couple of games with an injury. I still like them a lot.
Though,
pain. They could be back next year. And the Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant, one of the most exciting. He's out for several weeks. And as a result, they've lost the last couple of games, so they've dropped to 10-6. But I don't see them climbing again until Ja Morant comes back.
Okay, and you plugged in Phoenix and Cleveland. Interesting, you kept Bucks number 2, and they went 1-2 this past week, whereas Boston did go 3-0.
Well, Giannis missed a couple of games, but I'll tell you what, Bucks I fear the most, Rick, because when they do get Chris Middleton and Connaughton back, and of course they won the championship 2 years ago, and their roster really hasn't changed all that much. So, to me, they're an extremely dangerous team when they're back at full strength. Then again, the Celtics could be better than they've been the last couple of years when Robert Williams comes back.
Before,
I think they've added a depth, quality depth.
And before I pass it off to Tim for some final stuff, you guys talked about defense, and there was on one of the national broadcasts, they were talking about how the Celtics had begun to clamp down in the fourth quarter, and that's a good sign.
That's a great sign, because there are a lot of games that won and lost in those 12 minutes, right? So tonight's a good test. The Celtics are in Chicago. DeMar DeRozan is one of the great scorers in the NBA. And, you know, I can see every team now. The Celtics have a target on their back because they're 13-3. Some team wants to knock them off, say, hey, we crashed their 9-game winning streak. We stopped their 10-game winning streak, whatever, however it stretches. But the Celtics are playing with a purpose right now. And they're playing great as they head to the, you know, Thanksgiving here. So, and by the way, Rick, I know you mentioned guys who dribble the ball for 24 seconds. If you go to the Boston Garden Wednesday, Luka Doncic, I think of all the players in the NBA, he's the guy that dribbles the ball probably the most. And I think what's damning evidence, if I can use that word, about his game is that he often takes more shots than the other four starters combined.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, you'll often see, I mean, he'll end up with 10 or 11 assists and 9 rebounds and 36 points, but he'll take 28, 29 shots, and I've done the math several times. Oftentimes, if he'll take 25, 26 shots, the other four starters will end up taking a grand total of 22 or 23 shots.
He must have to ice his elbow after the game. Tim, what do you got?
I'm going to comment on the Bruins. They're sailing along underneath the radar, Mike.
You know, yes, they are. They're playing phenomenal. They're playing phenomenal.
Talking about
it. Yeah, yeah. And I also love Zach Wilson. Well, talk about this, the no accountability. That was incredible yesterday in his post game where he said, you know.
What did he say?
Basically, he said nothing. He said, he was asked point blank, do you feel you let the defense down? And he said, no. And he was arrogant about it. Now, you know, they had 2 yards in the second half. And, you know, he played horrible. He was 9 for 22 for 77 yards, the Patriots defense. Yet he wouldn't, you know, to me, if you're a quarterback, you've got to be a leader. And you say, yeah, that's on me. We got to get better as an offense because the defense played great. He said none of those things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's the Jets.
He makes him look like a clown. He makes him look like a clown.
Yeah. I'm just happy with the win.
You look back and you go, you know, Tom Brady's considered the GOAT, and well, he should be for all the records and everything else that he's accomplished and all the records that he owns. But every time he went to the podium, they had a bad game. The first person he pinned it on was himself. I got to do better.
Right.
I didn't hit the receivers. I didn't have a good game. It wasn't they sucked. They didn't catch the balls I threw at them. The coaching staff had a bad game. It always was, I got to do better.
Yep. If Zach Wilson used that as a model, he'd be fine. But I know he was panned across the country today for his lack of accountability and lack of team attitude, I believe. And I think, you know, who knows if he's the franchise quarterback. So far, he certainly hasn't been that at all.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Not to this.
All right, boys, I think we got to do it again next Monday night. And
sounds great.
I like the Power 5 and the underachieving 3. Let's do that again.
And obviously that's the fun of it, Rick and Tim, right, is it changes from week to week.
Yeah. Great job, Mike. Thank you so much.
But I hope the Lakers stay in that ball.
Don't we all?
And the Miami Heat, too, because they could be a dangerous team when they're at full strength.
Hey, Mike, you and Eileen have a wonderful, you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be well.
Both of you, too, as well. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving with your family.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
Great holiday.
All right, that is sports writer and our basketball insider, Mike Grenier. good stuff. And I'm glad Tim brought up the other stuff, too, because it's not just basketball that this guy knows about. Tim, I wish you a great Thanksgiving and hopefully a nice, relaxing weekend as well.
You and all your family as well, Rick. And I'll talk to you later in the week. I may go to one or two of the games this weekend.
Okay, Coach. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Rick.
Thank you, Tim. Good night. All right, that's Tim Kearns, who is our super analyst here at MSO News Sports, as well as our ambassador of goodwill, and just an awesome, awesome help to me, and I could not do this without the two Bills and Tim, and we've been doing it for a long time, and hopefully we still can. Thank you for joining us. If you want to get a hold of us, please do it, msonewsports@gmail.com. That's msonewsports@gmail.com. In the meantime, have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Be safe, be well, and do the right thing. On behalf of Tim and Bill, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.